Omega Man Radio has been commissioned to invade deep into enemy territory, drive out the hosts of hell, and take back the land. Our mission is to preach Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who is the only name written under heaven by which men might be saved. Cast out demons and pray for the sick that they may be healed in Jesus' name. If this program is a blessing to you and you would like to take part in this harvest of men's souls, join with us and attack the hosts of hell by donating any amount online at www.omegamanradio.com.
My brother.
Hey. Well, I see now you're on the ocean.
I just teleported. Got in one of those Star Trek jobs and just beamed myself over to the island. How you doing?
Oh, I'm here. I'm trying to get things going here a little bit.
You're sounding good.
And I found out the reason I was having trouble is Adobe says, oh, it's 10 o'clock. We can update software.
Oh, hey, I love when that happens, don't you?
Oh, I tell them on their web things, don't do it till midnight when I go to bed. And they don't listen.
That's okay. They're bullheaded. We've come to expect
are
that from Windows.
Ever?
Everybody, welcome aboard. We are live here tonight with Professor Tom Mack, and God bless all of you, wherever you're tuning in from tonight. I'm going to turn the screen over to Brother Mack, and Brother Mack, you are now in control. We've got the PowerPoint coming up. Here's what we need to do. I need just another minute or two to post this Zoom link to people out there who would like to tune in and watch.
Go ahead.
It.
Go
That's
ahead.
The most important thing. We want you to be able to...
I think my tea's done, so... Go ahead and talk for a minute.
Praise the Lord. I'm going to try to find this here. Just got to figure out how to share now. I know it's around here somewhere. I'm right-clicking. Let's see. Invite. There we go. I've got it. Copy invite link. Okay. So, fam out there on MixLR, you can click on this link if you want to come over to watch the Skype presentation. We're going to be testing out a PowerPoint tonight. Shouts out everybody. We got Gabby in the house, Julie in California. Thank you, Sister Julie, for writing me about our dear friend Brother Peter. We've got Sister Tanja, Sister Juliet. Thank you, Juliet, for you and the ladies, Maria, Julie, and yourself contacting us to let us know about Peter. We've got Dean in Ontario, Brother Phil. God bless you, Brother Phil. Hope you're feeling better, my friend. Nellie, Johnny Red, Sister Maria, Rita, Sister Etta B. And I don't think Sister Maria would mind me mentioning this. I had just assumed it may have been a cardiac event that took Brother Peter out, but he was on the phone with Maria, who's one of the coordinators there of the Zoom room. And as he had to cancel, he wasn't feeling good. He had mentioned he was having a hard time breathing, as she related to me. And he may have inhaled something really noxious when he was over there doing plumbing work. He had just gotten off of a plumbing job, apparently. You remember he had done the deal, folks, that he was going to do the plumbing on a man's house who in turn was going to help him build his own? And maybe it was the plumber's glue some of that stuff, it really smells bad. The joint pipe fittings, it was noxious apparently, and overwhelmed him. I think he had a hard time breathing. Now, that could have also triggered a cardiac event. I just don't know. But God bless him. He's with Jesus tonight. And that's all the information I have at this point in time to share. I know many of you have been asking me what happened. So there we are. Thank you, Maria and Julie and Juliet and others, for sharing with me what you knew. Okay. With that, I put a link there in the room. And I think I need to do one more thing, Tom. We'll be ready.
Yes.
Just need to make sure people can want to get in can. And I'm looking there at the participants. Hang on, I'm going to pop out my chat here. Okay, I think we got enough to get her done. Last thing I want to do is I just need to pop something up on someone on Facebook. Okay. If someone out there could help me out in the chat room. Anybody got Facebook? Can you put that link right there, up there, and I'll do the same. Okay, I think we're ready to roll. Folks, welcome aboard. We're here tonight with Professor Tom Mack, and we were going to do a program earlier tonight, and then we had the surprise call from Major Tom. So we gave him the mic, give us some updates, because we didn't expect to hear from him tonight, and Professor Tom was good enough to come back with us tonight. My friend, you got all the time you want. You're our last show tonight, so no hurry. Whatever you feel like doing tonight, you got it. With that, you want to open us in prayer?
Okay. Heavenly Father, in the name of Yahushua HaMashiach, we just come before you, and we lift this program up. Let the words that were said, let the concepts that are taught be your concepts and your word, and let us speak it forth tonight, for you've made sure, even in your New Testament, to discuss Korah. So that is what we're going to do tonight. But also, Heavenly Father, we also ask that you be with Major Baird and his family as they sleep. It's a situation I know you prepared him for throughout his life, so that, and you set him in that place to be in St. Vincent's, so that that family had a leader, and a leader who knows how to lead. And we just thank you and pray for your assistance with him. Amen.
I say amen. Folks, he heard from the Lord to stay, and so that's what he's doing, and God will keep his hand on him. But we will certainly keep you posted if there's anything we hear about that anybody out there might be able to help him with. God bless you as you
also
bring the teaching.
Also, go to aliveontheedge.com, and there I will put up updates as I get them, because I'm his webmaster, and we put all these shows up there, and we will have this one up there and the one earlier tonight, because Major Baird and I have still been on the trail of the beast, and I wish he could be here right now to help with this, because he's dealt with a lot of rebellion down in St. Vincent's, and this is something that is very serious today, because we have a lot of rebellion in the church, and a lot of it is rebellion against what the plain word of Yahuwah is saying to us today. And we need to remember what Peter said. We will not obey God. We will obey God and not men. And of course, all the Sanhedrin was about to have a cow, but in the end, they couldn't beat Yahuwah. And when they thought they were actually doing Yahuwah's will, they were actually doing something else. So it's rebellion is something that can sneak in there. We're going to watch Korah here. But before we get to that, a couple of people have written me and said, could you start to pull all these elements of the beast system together? And so I'm going to spend a few minutes doing that tonight. And if people have questions, pass them along to Shannon and we'll work with them on the way.
Awesome.
So one of the things we started with right at the beginning was the Noahide laws. And I have put the seven Noahide laws as Shabbat Lubavitch enumerates them. And we've had, what, every president since Jimmy Carter has signed on to this. And as attorney Stephen Pidgeon has pointed out, they have no idea what they are signing on to. And you look at number one, they say, do not profane God's oneness in any way. Well, one of the ways that they feel you profane God's oneness is to say that Yahushua HaMashiach is Elohim, or Jesus is Lord. They say you're profaning God's oneness. I'm sorry, the Bible doesn't teach that, but when you get Pharisees who've built on the Talmud, they've built on the Mishnah, and they've confused things so much that now their Mishnah and their Talmud is more authoritative than the actual Bible. And when they do that, they're off in another world. And some of these others are in the Ten Commandments. Do not curse your creator. Do not murder. Number four just does not make much sense to me. Nobody eats the limb of a living animal. Now, maybe in Asia you might see something a little different, but I haven't seen it anywhere in Europe, anywhere in North America.
Chicken feet. Yucky.
Yeah. And do not steal is one of the Ten Commandments. And number six, they sort of twist. You know, you shall not commit adultery, and to harness and channel the human libido. Well, we're going to save that one because we're going to find out that they have a few ways to harness and channel the human libido that make absolutely no sense. And number seven isn't in the Ten Commandments. It's not in the Noahide laws. By the way, the Noahide laws are in Genesis 9. In fact, in Genesis 9, it said to procreate, 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 because a population of the world was down to 8 people. So it was important to repopulate the earth because that was the Noahide laws, not this stuff. Next thing we see them doing is reestablishing 3 evil processes to challenge the authority of Yahuwah on the earth. The first one is to corrupt the human genome, and they're doing it with the COVID-19 vaccine. They call themselves transhumanists when they do this. They think that they can somehow improve on our Heavenly Father's creation. I'm sorry, but you guys are clueless if you think you can do that. Second thing, and they started doing this, and then I guess you could say, start Alan Turing on this road back in the 1950s. And he And the idea is to create a one world language, which is computer assembler language. It's all ones and zeros. And from all those ones and zeros, we've been able to build what we have today. It took a long time, took a lot of work, but they started working on this. In fact, much of what we've started here was done as a result of World War II. Number three, establish homosexuality and transgenderism to confuse sexuality and control population growth. That is how they harness the libido. To put it in places where we don't have an increase in population. But these things are damnable. They're damnable heresies. And some churches are now preaching these things. Heavenly Father, help them. And then we go to Genesis 46, and we find the next one. Establish a totalitarian government based upon what the patriarch Joseph did in Egypt. First thing patriarch Joseph did, he established the seven royal families as the sole rulers of the beast system. Only in that day it was Pharaoh. The royal families think that they're just as powerful, more so than what Pharaoh was. Second thing along the line is they destroyed the current governmental money systems. And we saw that in Genesis. We destroy the money systems. The next thing is to make people slaves. And I just saw something the other day, a patent application. Notice the 666 in it. But what they want to do is attach your brains to a cryptocurrency system so you can start mining wealth for the royal families. Does that sound like a wonderful idea? Move people to cities so they can further control the population. And then the last one is to establish a 20% gross receipts tax to maintain the royal family's wealth and expand their control. We found out many years ago when it was first proposed, just a 1% tax on all stock exchange transactions would actually give the government enough money that they could eliminate all their other taxes and still they would balance the budget. We don't need to have these deficits. But unfortunately, the rich are never going to go for that. Instead, they want to take 20% of what we do. The next thing is create a golden calf religious system. You go to Exodus 32, and when Moses spent a little bit too much time on Mount Sinai, suddenly the people get restless, and they say, Aaron, do something. And so Aaron said, well, take the earrings out of your ears, which they should have done long before. And he melted them down and created a golden calf, much like the worship in Egypt. And since Aaron was the high priest, he became a politician. Its politicians are going to be the de facto priests for this new religion. And they will establish a new moral code to turn the Torah on its head, to quote Shabbati Zevi, who suggested this in the ominous year 1666. And in previous programs, I've talked about Shabbat's Eve. But today, we're doing it thanks to Dr. Rick Warren by the creation of Chrislam, a unification of Islam and Christianity. I don't know how he thinks he can put them together because there's so many contradictions, but he's sure trying it, and he's dialoguing with Islamic rulers at this point almost every day, and he is trying to create this new world religion. The other element is using the tribe of Dan's serpent to bring about government control. If you notice all the medical symbols that get used in ambulances, in hospitals, in doctor's offices, there's a serpent connected with everyone. And the serpent does two things. One, you never see him until he strikes. And two, when he does, he scares you half to death. And if it happens to be a poisonous snake, you have between 30 minutes and about 2 hours to get medical help or you're cooked. Let's compare it to what happened in 2020. The beginning of 2020, everything was normal. Then the COVID-19 epidemic arose in February and March, and suddenly the politicians shut down everything and did so on very questionable figures that have since been discredited. Of course, I have a problem when Dr. Neil Johnston, after he tells us to shut down and stay in our homes, he flies up to Scotland and shacks up with a married woman. Even the British government thought that was too much and fired him. But we're still pushing his program. And now, once they've scared us half to death, they're now saying, we got a vaccine that'll fix it. Well, I'm sorry, but I've been suggesting for a long time that all these vaccines we've been given, even as kids, tend to do things we're not expecting. And I mentioned about how football players are so much bigger now than they were just a few years ago. Linebackers, 260 pounds, where they used to barely break 200. Defensive and offensive linemen, they can't make it unless they weigh 300 pounds now. Back in 1985, it was a novelty that William the Refrigerator Perry was over 300 pounds. He would be sort of small by comparison to some of the ones we're seeing now. And the other one I mentioned, in the 1950s and 60s, there was about three guys who were over 7 feet tall. Today, almost every Power Five conference team has a 7 foot center. And it's now the standard. We've been messing with these things for a long time, and now they've decided to do more. The other things is they use locusts and other insects to attack world food supplies because they want a food shortage. They want to create as many crises as they can. The other thing, and this is what Joe Biden is working on as we speak, he wants to break up the United States. He wants to replace 50 states with 10 regions. And they're going to call it denaturalization. And then they're going to appoint bureaucrats who will rule instead of elected state legislators and governors. And again, they're going to do more genome experiments and modifications. And the other thing for population control, using Molech, as we talked about, expand the abortion industry. The spirit of Molech gets empowered by that. Then we go to the spirit of Balaam. And what did Balaam do? He confused spirituality. He manipulated and wrestled biblical teachings to achieve the ends that King Balak wanted. King Balak wanted to destroy the Israelites. And he was told the only way he could get this done is to get a prophet and have him curse them. Well, unfortunately, Balaam couldn't curse them while they were righteous. So he brought in sin to make them unrighteous. What happens today? Materialism is being used to trap Protestant Christians into idolatry. Because every time you want stuff, suddenly that stuff becomes your God or your Elohim instead of Yahuwah. And they will expand idolatry through the New World religion. And then finally, their goal is to eliminate the Roman Catholic institution altogether and liquidate its tremendous wealth. I mean, you go into the Vatican Library, everything that's in there is worth trillions. And I can't imagine but what the beast system would love to have those resources. But today, we're going to go in a different direction. We're going to look at Jude verse 11. There's only one chapter in Jude, so I don't just say Jude 1:11. It's Jude 11 through 13, but we're going to work on verse 11. Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain. We've discussed Cain. And ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward. We've talked about Balaam. But suddenly Jude brings up something that is not brought up in the Bible very often. And perished in the gainsaying of Korah. And it's interesting because Korah, it's almost like a sin to mention the man's name in the Bible. When Samuel was confronting Saul in 1 Samuel 15, he could have brought up Korah, but he didn't. He just basically said, for rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. He was blunt. He just said, if you rebel, you're practicing witchcraft. So let's start with the scriptures. Now Korah, the son of Izhar, the son of Kohath, the son of Levi, and Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, and On, the son of Peleth, the sons of Reuben, took men. And they rose up before Moses with certain of the children of Israel, 250 princes of the assembly, famous in the congregation, men of renown. Oops, where have I heard that men of renown before? I think I heard it in Genesis 6:4 in regard to the Nephilim. See, renown has a different meaning now than it did then when they were doing the King James Version in the 17th century. Sometimes these words adjust and we have to go back to our dictionaries and look for the antiquated definition. What did they do? And they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron. And said unto them, ye take too much upon you, seeing all the congregation is holy, every one of them, and Yahuwah is among them. Wherefore then lift up ye up yourselves above the congregation of Yahuwah? Let's look at those arguments, and let's see if they're valid. He says, ye take too much upon you. What's he doing? He's dragging in poor old Jethro, the father-in-law of Moses. When Jethro said that, he was right. And Moses did something about it. He instituted a judicial system so that they could deal with most of the controversies among themselves. And only the biggest ones came to Moses. So no, he wasn't taking on too much now. He had corrected that. Second accusation, seeing all the congregation as holy, every one of them, and Yahuwah is among them. Well, I'm sorry, every time I read through the Torah, I see anything but righteousness in the congregation of Israel. They were constantly murmuring, constantly complaining. And when they had a chance to go into the promised land, in Numbers 13 and 14, they balked because they listened to the evil report of the 10 spies and ignored what Joshua and Caleb had to say. They ignored it. And their punishment is 40 years, you're going to be in the wilderness. So don't blame the congregation. Or blame the congregation. Don't blame Moses. And then finally they get to the real motive. Well, you're the leader and really you should be. You know, Korah and all these guys, we think we ought to be doing a little bit more and you doing a little less. If that isn't rebellion, I don't know what is. Because countless times throughout the Torah, Moses was set up as a leader. He was set up as the lawgiver. He was set up to take them out of Egypt and get them to that place where they were ready to go in the promised land. Moses would have gone into the promised land too if he hadn't struck the rock two times at Meribah. Shouldn't have struck it at all, but that's for a discussion for another time. So Moses, first off, he falls on his face. Then he says, okay, tomorrow Yahuwah will show us who are his and who are holy. So all you guys need to do is you need to take your censers, Korah, all your company, and put fire on them. And put incense in them before Yahuwah tomorrow. And it shall be that the man whom Yahuwah doth choose, he shall be holy. And then he fires it back at them. You take too much upon you, ye sons of Levi. You know, now it's suddenly starting to come up. We're having to serve you guys, but we don't get to do any of the leadership. How come Aaron and his sons get to do the leadership? If we're the Levites, we should have some part of it. Well, we're gonna get our answer in a couple of minutes. And Moses says to these Levites, seemeth it a small thing unto you that the Elohim of Yisrael has separated you from the congregation of Israel to bring you near to himself to do the service of the tabernacle of Yahuwah and to stand before the congregation to minister unto them? And he hath brought thee near to them and all thy brethren, the sons of Levi, with them. And seek ye the priesthood also? There you go. That's what they want. They were literally doing a coup d'etat. They wanted the priesthood. They wanted what Moses and Aaron had. And here we go. They're murmuring again. And finally, Moses sent to call Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, which said, and they said, will not come up. Is it a small thing that you have brought us up out of a land that floweth with milk and honey to kill us in the wilderness, except thou make thyself altogether a prince over us? Again, do they not understand? They doubted the word of Yahuwah one too many times. And again, the next verse 14. Moreover, thou hast not brought us into a land that floweth with milk and honey, or given us inheritance of fields and vineyards. Wilt thou put out the eyes of these men? We will not come up. Saying you're a dictator. I'm sorry. Scripture says that Moses was appointed to do these things, not them. And Moses got after him and said, I have not taken one ass from them, neither have I hurt one of them. And again, he says, okay, you guys, take every man his censer and put incense in them, and bring ye before Yahuwah every man his censer, 250 censers, thou also and Aaron, each of you his censers. And so they took every man his censer and put fire into them and laid incense thereon and stood in the Torah of the tabernacle of the congregation with Moses and Aaron. Now we're going to see who's really supposed to be leading. And Korah gathered all the congregation against them unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And the glory of Yahuwah appeared unto the congregation. And Yahuwah spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, separate yourselves from among this congregation, that I may consume them in a moment. And they fell on their faces, Moses and Aaron, and said, O Elohim, the El of the spirits of all flesh, shall one man sin, and wilt thou be wroth with all the congregation? There's another intercession of Moses. There's dozens of them in the Torah. And Yahuwah spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the congregation, saying, get you up from about the tabernacle of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. And Moses rose up and went unto Dathan and Abiram, and the elders of Israel followed him. And he spake unto the congregation, saying, depart, I pray you, from the tents of these wicked men, and touch nothing of theirs, lest ye be consumed in their sins. So they got up from the tabernacle of Korah, Dathan and Abiram, on every side. And Dathan and Abiram came out and stood in the door of their tents, and their wives and their sons and their little children. And Moses said, hereby ye shall know that Yahuwah hath sent me to do all these works, for I have not done them of mine own mind. If these men die the common death of all men, or if they be visited after the visitation of all men, then Yahuwah hath not sent me. He put out a challenge. He's saying, look, if I'm not a prophet, and these men die normally, then Yahuwah hath not sent me. But if Yahuwah make a new thing, and the earth openeth her mouth, and swallow them up with all that appertain unto them, and they go down quick into the pit, then ye shall understand that these men have provoked Yahuwah. And it came to pass, as he made an end of speaking all these words, that the ground clave asunder that was under them. And the earth opened her mouth and swallowed them up, and their houses and all the men that appertained unto Korah and all their goods. They and all that appertained unto them went down alive into the pit. and the earth closed upon them, and they perished from among the congregation. But you know what? Our Heavenly Father isn't done. And all Israel that were round about them fled at the cry of them, for they said, lest the earth swallow us up also. And there came out a fire from Yahuwah and consumed the 250 men that offered incense. And Yahuwah spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto Eleazar the son of Aaron the priest, that he take up the censers out of the burning, and scatter thou the fire yonder, for they are hallowed. And here we go. And the censers of these sinners, against their own souls. You can sin against your own soul when you engage in rebellion. Let them make broad plates for a covering of the altar. So basically, cover them up so that, yes, they're hallowed, but it needs to be a sign. Don't be being rebellious. And the Eleazar the priest took the brazen censers wherewith they were burnt and offered, and they were made broad plates for a covering of the altar, to be a memorial unto the children of Israel, that no stranger, which is not of the seed of Aaron, come near to offer incense before Yahuwah, that he be not as Korah and as his company, as Yahuwah said to him by the hand of Moses. Don't be screwing around with this. But guess what? The next day, the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. What did they say? You've killed the people of Yahuwah. Moses didn't kill them. They did it on themselves. They didn't quite get it yet. And it came to pass, when the congregation was gathered against Moses and against Aaron, that they looked toward the tabernacle of the congregation, and behold, the cloud covered it, and the glory of Yahuwah appeared. And Moses and Aaron came before the tabernacle of the congregation. And Yahuwah spake unto Moses, saying, get you up from this congregation, that I may consume them as in a moment. And they fell on their faces. Here's another intercession. And Moses said unto Aaron, take a censer, and put fire therein from off the altar, and put on incense, and go quickly unto the congregation, and make an atonement for them. For there is wrath gone out from Yahuwah. The plague has begun. Don't you be supporting rebellion in any way. You know, you're murmuring, well, they killed Korah and all his people. No, they didn't. Yahuwah did. And he did it for a good reason. And Aaron took as Moses commanded and ran into the midst of the congregation. And behold, the plague was begun among the people. And he put on incense and made an atonement for the people. And he stood between the dead and the living, and the plague was stayed. Means it ended. We don't use the word stayed very often unless you're in a courtroom. Now, they that died in the plague were 14,700. Beside them that died about the matter of Korah. So it's 14,950, well, 900, probably 960, 70, 80 men. Or 80 people. And Aaron returned unto Moses under the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and the plague was stayed. Okay. So let's bring it, Korra, to the modern day. How does the beast use the principles of Korra? Korra attacked Moses in an attempt to undermine the ability of Yahuwah to communicate directly with his people. Remember, Moses was the lawgiver. He is the man who gave us Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. Had Korah succeeded, the book of Deuteronomy would never exist, and so would much of the book of Numbers. And the Israelites would have died in the desert. So, when you go to war, it is important to compromise the enemy's ability to communicate with his troops. So, when the beast sees the story of Korra, he sees it as a way to compromise Christian leaders and set in place people that aren't anointed of our Heavenly Father. And he compromises Christian leaders three different ways. Number one, and the most preferable way, is to get them to believe erroneous doctrines. And that takes out probably most of them. Number two, get them to engage in ungodly behaviors. Right now, number one on the list is pornography. And if those two things don't work, get them to sell their souls. We've seen some big names that I think have sold their soul. I won't accuse them here, but I think some of you have some ideas. So, what did our Heavenly Father have to do to deal with them? Our Heavenly Father eliminated Korra and his followers by having the earth swallow them and their families up. That way they are not even counted as part of Yisrael. And previously, we mentioned Samuel. He explained, rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. And when you have witchcraft, you have to destroy it. Thou shalt not suffer a witch to live. Everything had to be destroyed. When the Israelites went into a city that was heathen, they were told to destroy all their gods, cut down all their groves, and to destroy everything. Because if you leave any little bit of rebellion around, it will come back and bite you. And the princes died when fire came out of heaven and consumed them. When those princes followed one rebellious person, what's to say they're not going to follow the next? Be very careful who you follow. And then the last of them, they died in a plague. The only way that our Heavenly Father finds to deal with heretics is to eliminate every last one of them. And the final page, I finally listed all my websites. Also listed Major Baird's websites, since he can't be here. I would mention in these days, you need to get the sharp edge of the sword. Some of these prophecies are now happening, and happening in very powerful ways. I think sometimes more powerful than even Major Baird ever expected. And also sometimes these things happened because, or happened, but they manifested in ways he never anticipated. With the one prophecy he mentioned tonight, Being from New York City afar off, he thought Staten Island. Well, he would learn differently when suddenly he went on a cruise ship after he'd lost his first wife. Like a lot of people, he was content to live with the memory of the woman he loved for 46 years. What he didn't realize was that there was another woman who was crying out to her Heavenly Father for a white man to come and to set her house in order. And sure enough, Major Baird's talked into going on a cruise ship, which he didn't want to do, especially not without the woman he loved. But he got talked into it by his sister. Sometimes only your sister can talk you into these things. And there he meets this cabin attendant named Darlene, who kept singing Christian songs as she worked. That made an impression on the major. No, she didn't wear unseemly dresses. She didn't seduce him. No, she served her Heavenly Father and trusted him to bring that man into her life. And now even she is prophesying as Major Baird has. She did before, but not at the rate she does now, because of the leadership that is in her life. But again, this PowerPoint is on Major Baird's website. And it's a little shorter tonight because we didn't have his input. And we're going to continue this series, but we will continue it as our Heavenly Father leads us to continue it. If other things happen, then we need to deal with them. Just as a little side note, today I put up the first Bible code on Kamala Harris. And boy, oh boy, it's not good. I have another one in the works, and it's even scarier. We have got to pray, and pray like we've never prayed for this country before. This is the only thing that can, we're going to use that legal word again, stay the judgment. And we don't have much time. We don't have much time.
That's right, and, brother.
By the way, anybody have questions?
I would join you for video, but my video driver died, so I've got to work on that after the show. But you're coming through fine. Folks, Professor Tom Baird?
Tom Mack.
I'm sorry. I'll get it right. Professor Tom Mack. Well, we once had four Peters on this program. That gets confusing. And I've got double Tom here. We've got Professor Tom Mack here with us tonight. Great teaching, my friend. If you're coming in late, we'll have this cut and put up in the archive for you. And we've also got the audio version that I was recording. We'll simulcast. I don't have any questions on it at this point, but if you do, you can always contact Professor Tom. Now, Brother Tom, for those that can't read the screen but are listening only to audio, give out your contact information.
Okay. My email address is tom.mack@whitestonefoundation.org. And just, I try to answer all the emails I get. And we get some interesting ones. Some of them have been very helpful in helping me to make these go a little easier. I have websites, and I should mention, I also still have Olaf Hagee's old website. And we will probably be putting out one of his reports here in the next week. Since we've had things as crazy as they've been, I've not been able to put up his reports as I like, and that's something that I need to do a little better job on, because he has a lot of insights that if he were alive today, he would be shocked at how many of them have come to pass. And also we put up ancient-evil.org. That's our newest website. And hopefully in the coming weeks, we can talk about it on this program. Albeit we'll do it late at night, because some of it I don't want children hearing, because it's a little bit too evil for them. Also, as I said, BibleCodes.co. We have new codes coming up every so often. I can't say every week, because honestly, when I get codes, it's the Heavenly Father who leads me to them. And I don't just do them mechanically. I have to be led. And we have other little projects going too. And with some of the information we've got from the codes, 21st century warfare prayers will probably have a revision this summer. And with 21st century warfare prayers is very inexpensively priced. Get it and start praying the prayers. We need it more than ever. The enemy has been allowed to rise up in these last days as never before. But we were warned he would do that. But we weren't left without a way to mitigate it. That's something Wynne Worley taught us. That just because it's supposed to happen doesn't mean we can't do something to stop what they're trying to do. So
that's exactly right. Absolutely, folks. We all can make a difference. God looked for just one person at times in history, looking for someone that would stand in the gap for a country and nation. Will you and I be that person now?
Yeah.
Brother, you had a great presentation tonight. PowerPoint came through beautifully. I want to thank you for coming on tonight, and do you want to close us in prayer?
Yes. Heavenly Father, in the name of Yahushua HaMashiach, we come before you tonight, and we just lift up the sin that is in this nation right now. And we pray that you would deal with it swiftly, but that you would protect those that are righteous. And I stand in front of everyone that's righteous tonight and ask that you would protect them tonight and encourage them to continue in their righteousness, and that they would walk in that righteousness and serve as a standard to the rest of the world. And we pray that you would deal with this gross wickedness that has been passed off in this country in the last few years. Wickedness that our fathers would never have imagined. Heavenly Father, I just pray right now, deal with this. In Yahushua's name, amen.
I say amen to that. My brother, God richly bless you. We'll see you back again soon. Thank you for coming on tonight.
Okay, we'll see you next Monday, unless you want to do something later on, too.
Looks good. Definitely, we're going to see you Monday. Let me look at the schedule here real quick. Scheduler. Okay, Monday the 19th. I also have a late slot that evening at 11 Eastern, which is 9 Mountain, if you want it.
I'll take it.
Okay. Putting it
and,
there.
Because I got a feeling next week we're going to have a lot coming from Major Baird. So.
Okay. It's yours. We'll have that set up for you so that you got plenty of time to share whatever you'd like to.
Okay.
God bless
you,
my friend.
Maybe we'll do the Infinity Code next week.
Oh, that'd be good. You can take your pick.
And okay, well, I have to pray about it first. I don't know, because sometimes, you know, my Heavenly Father has other ideas than what Tom has.
Absolutely.
And I have to follow what he tells me.
Amen.
But I got to do it because I love him, not like Balaam. There's too many preachers out there like Balaam, and they do it because they think they have to.
Amen,
but then
brother.
After they do it, they manipulate it.
I appreciate that about you, my friend. You're sincere. You love the Lord. And whatever the Lord gives you to bring will be fine by me. Amen?
Amen. What I care about is that it's what our Heavenly Father wants.
That's right. Amen. Well, I have all the audios cut through Friday. I need to post them for you all today. I will. I'll get these up, and we should be current soon. I'll see you next time, brother. God bless you.
Thank you very much.
Good night.
Night, night.
Well, that's going to end our Zoom meeting. That's going to conclude our broadcast for today. We're going to be back tomorrow night. Let's see what time. Yep, we're going to be doing early bird shows all week. Julian Varner tomorrow at 6. We'll see you then, folks. If you want to contact me, OmegaManRadio.com. Love you all. Thank you for spending time with us tonight. Get some rest out there. We'll see you next time.